Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday, in our study of Revelation chapter 21, we were taught that those who overcome the trials and temptations of this world will get to sit on the throne with the Lord. Let's continue with that thought today.
And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
And that takes us to verse 7, where he says, here in Revelation 21, He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. The overcomers, who are they? How does one overcome? Well, we read in 1 John chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, it says, For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. And not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. Oh, you're overcome by first being born of God, and you do that through faith in Him. Believing that Jesus is the Son of God. How is He the Son of God? Well, God is the Spirit. So how is He the Son of God? Well, the Spirit of God left heaven and took on human flesh inside the Virgin Mary. And through doing that, his humanity became the Son of his Spirit, the Son of God. Oh, the promise of Revelation 3:21. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. I too often hear people talk about thrones and it's a one-seater. And that wasn't always true of thrones. Several people could have sat on them. This throne is such a great throne. Jesus says that you're an overcomer. There'll be those times in eternity when you can actually sit on that throne with him. I don't think that's for every saved person. I think that there are saved people that will be saved so as by fire, they won't be overcomers. But I think for those overcomers, that they'll sit with him in that throne. These are people who overcome the flesh, the devil, and the world in this life as Christians. They will enjoy unspeakable things in the life to come. Now, you may not die as some of these martyrs and these people of yesteryear died, but we need their commitment. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 11 and 12a, he says this, And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. How were they overcomers? Well, by the blood of the Lamb. They witness for Jesus Christ is the word of their testimony. They were saved, and they loved not their lives until physical death because they knew that heaven is a wonderful place. Henry Morse tells us that there were seven wonderful promises made to the churches in Revelation chapters 2 and 3 for overcoming. And here, they are now entering into those blessings. And the greatest blessing of all is to be called His Son, His child forever I am. Isn't that a wonderful praise? Isn't that a wonderful blessing? You can be a child of God. You can be an overcomer. It's worth getting saved just to miss hell. But the greater reason for getting saved is for the reunion with God, for the eternal life with Him, for the opportunity of overcoming. What a blessing that is. And that takes us into verse 8, which closes out this section of the new condition by showing us the new conditions are the best ever simply because of what's not in it. He says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, these are sins of which all of us are guilty of at least one of them. Heaven is not attained on our merit or goodness. These sins listed here, you say, well, I'm not guilty of all of them. I haven't broken all of these commandments. And that might be true, but we're told in James chapter 2, verse 10, if you break the least of these commandments, then you're guilty of all. And so that's the idea behind it. It's like being in a grocery store and you go buy some kind of an item there made of glass and it's worth, say, a $10 jar. And you knock it down being careless and it breaks and you tell the manager, well, look, don't charge me for the whole thing, only the top of it's broken. Just a small piece. Doesn't matter. You bought it. Okay, you bought it. Again, heaven's not attained on our merit or our goodness. Luke 13:3, Jesus said it this way, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. You're alive, you're breathing, you need to repent. Don't trust in your goodness or merit to make it. Acts 3:19 says, repent ye therefore, be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the Lord. And what a list is given here for us. The first thing listed is the fearful. Now, the fearful could be one of two things, if not both. It could be fearful as a person who is violent and wicked. Mean people of little compassion. Or many vile passions. It could be those who are cowardly, on the other hand. They do not receive Jesus Christ for fear of the cost in this life. It may even refer to those in the tribulation who are told to renounce Christ or die. So, the fearful. And then the next one listed here in verse 8 of Revelation 21 is the unbelieving. The unpardonable sin is to never receive Christ as Savior in this lifetime. Because then it cannot be pardoned in hell. It then would not be a salvation of faith. We're reminded of John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him. There's that word, believe. We think of Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Then I think of John 3:18, for people who don't believe. It says they are condemned already. So there we see right off the bat the fearful and the unbelieving. The next one listed for us are the abominable. It has the idea of doing those things that makes one very, very vow or to be self-abhorred before God. Homosexuality is referred in that way as abominable when you read Romans chapter 1. But on the other hand, think of this from Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 5. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. Now, when I think about that, I'm not speaking of slacks on women. I know that that has been an issue in many places over the years. I personally feel like that if a slack, they say a slack is a man's dress only, and yet if a man comes here and he has flowered breeches on and he's got a zipper up the back and they have a little bit of lace on them, I have a tendency to think that that's effeminate. And I sure don't want him working around any children. And so, I'm not necessarily talking about the style. I'm talking about modesty, and I'm talking about distinction. Now, in heaven, men and women are in robes. When Adam and Eve sinned, God made them coats of skin. Neither one of them were in pants. When Jesus walked on the earth, he was in a robe. The high priest that wore breeches in Exodus, those went underneath their robes, and they were actually to the knee, and they were white linen. We call those boxer shorts today. And so, the dress was robes in the Bible days, when God first dressed them, and it's that way in heaven. It may be just as wrong for a man to walk around in pants as it is for a woman if you think that it's wrong for a woman to wear pants. Or it might be that God's way is distinction. God made us distinctive. He made us two different sexes. And that distinction should also be shown in the way you dress. And to dress like a man, if you're a woman, or to dress like a woman, if you're a man, is an abomination the Bible teaches. You say, Brother Andy, are you saying that? Well, in a sense I am, but the truth of the matter is what God says. I'm just his messenger, and I'm telling you what God says. Now, murderers is the next one listed here, and that's pretty self-explanatory. Although I would add to that, that would include abortion because you're still killing a life, and that's murder. A whoremonger. That speaks to men.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no break. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.